Can you hear that Rocky Mountain water as it thunders coming down to wash you away? You can't hold back a rising tide, and you can't stop the chain that's rolling down the track. You can't stop the chain that's rolling down the track.
Good evening, guys, gals, and non-binary pals, and Southpaws, episode 444?
Yeah.
I think so, yeah. Where we aren't in Oz. I'm Saverin.
I'm Fuzzle.
And I'm Shiva.
And thankfully, we are not in Oz. This last week has been a bit exciting on the weather side here in Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
And the tornadoes, the big one that came through was an EF3 that tore through middle of North Dallas, was about 5 miles south of me on Sunday. So that was an exciting start to my week.
Yeah, it was. They said it was on the ground for about 15 miles.
Yeah, it was nuts.
There are several photographs taken from weather choppers or stations or whatever that show a big black scar across the Metroplex where all the lights are out, where the tornado tore through.
And there's all these photos, people come into Love Field and they can very clearly see what parts have been devastated. Like, you could see on the traffic map where traffic is not getting through these sections because shit's fucked.
Yeah.
Like, my doctor's office got hit.
Oh.
So I guess I need to find a new doctor, because pretty sure that clinic is not standing, because that was one of the corners where the tornado just went right through it.
Oh.
It was not a little bit south of Royal on Marsh.
Yeah.
And they showed there was a liquor store across the street from the clinic.
Yeah.
That was just flattened.
Wow.
And it was roughly parallel to Interrobang Books, just a bit west of there.
Just corner Preston and Royal. There's a shopping plaza for those not local that had one of our local independent bookstores that took a direct hit. Basically, it pulled off the roof, it destroyed the walls between the stores on their section of the L-shaped shopping plaza, and basically that bookstore is fucked,
when we saw the photo initially, I didn't read it correctly visually. Yeah. I was like, oh, their front windows are screwed up. No, what I thought was damaged windows was in fact just the roof hanging in. The roof is completely gone.
Yeah.
And
because Dallas Morning News has done a couple articles on it, because the art section covers the local bookstores quite a bit. So they later posted an updated article with more images that showed better what the interior looked like. Because the first time I saw it was sort of at an angle. But then they posted some pictures that are straight on, and it's just smashed bookshelves and destroyed books all over the ground. And it's just Jesus, man. I mean, we've been in that bookstore, and it's just so fucked up to see. So there's a couple of articles out. I'll probably retweet here about if you want to support their bookstore, you can still order books online from their website. There's a service that sells audiobooks not through Audible, where it's sort of like the way Comixology used to do the thing where, if you click the link to Comixology from an individual store's website, anything purchased through Comixology would get credit for those sales, basically, which is how I supported my friend Nick's comic shop up in Seattle. Was I bought all my Comixology comics through their link. But basically, it's a similar thing for audiobooks, where you buy audiobooks through them, and an individual independent bookstores will get credit for the sales, and they'll get the money for that sale. And so there's a couple of things like that. The store is looking for temporary space somewhere that they can set up to at least get through the holiday season, because it's late October. We're a month away from Black Friday. They're probably not going to have that shopping plaza rebuilt.
Oh, no.
In time, It's for brick and mortar retailers, the Black Friday, the holiday season, is something a third of their annual sales. It's not just they'll miss a month of sales. It's no, they miss like a massive portion of retailer sales are made in the holiday season. And I really don't want to see one of our independent bookstores go out of business.
Yeah, you know? And we went there with Jacoby one time for a book reading.
Attica Locke was the author. Uh-huh. She wrote Bluebell, Bluebell, which had just come out, and she read from it. And Jacoby and I bought copies. We got her to sign them.
It was real neat.
It was a really nice evening. And they do that all the time. They have all kinds of authors coming in there.
Yeah, this isn't like, oh, a Barnes & Noble got hit. This was like a small independent bookstore, and we only have a few of those here in Dallas. So yeah. It's a damn shame. And like the wild thing also, the fire protection system never lost power. So there was just water spewing on the remaining books.
Oh, I didn't see that part. Fuck.
Yeah, well, I mean, there was a video I saw of someone just kind of panning their camera across that entire complex.
Yeah.
And some of the tornado sirens or fire alarms were still going off. And water was just spewing from broken pipes onto the interiors of the building. And it's like, God damn, they're just completely boned.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have insurance, but they still got to make it through the season and stuff. So there will be we'll put a link in the show notes from the tweet. And it's like how you can help support us, because I saw that from another local book retailer, independent bookseller, that was like retweeting them and being like, yo, try to help our comrades at Interrobang out.
Probably Will Evans of Deep Vellum Books.
I think so.
Who I retweet him. That might have been how you saw it.
Probably.
He's, even though he owns his own independent bookstore, like he works a lot with Interrobang and with the Wild Detectives in Bishop Arts. Mm-hmm.
Which was the one that we went to that was South Dallas?
That was Wild Detectives.
Okay, because that was a really neat little mini bookstore.
Yep.
Like, you get a beer, and there was, like, various groups that meet, and they have the outside seating area. It was really neat.
Mm-hmm. They'll have musicians. They'll have poetry readings. They'll have authors coming in and doing signings there as well. Wild Detectives has that nice outdoor area for when it's nice out, and you can get a beer, you can get a coffee. You know, like, we have nice little indie bookstores here that we try to support. And I try to make it a point to, like, show them off to friends that come in from out of town. So that was nice, like kind of taking Jacoby on like a mini bookstore tour when he was in town. So
we survived.
Yeah.
And the real surprising thing is, like, at most there were non-life-threatening injuries.
Yeah.
Nobody died.
That's a miracle.
Yeah.
I mean, lots of property damage, lots of businesses fucked up, lots of houses fucked up, but nobody died.
Like, there was a Home Depot that just got flattened.
Yeah.
And apparently the manager sent everybody home before the storms hit. And the store's no more, but all of his employees are okay.
Yeah, and Home Depot is apparently being pretty good about it. They have assigned employees to work at other area Home Depots, so they still have their jobs. They're still getting a paycheck, you know, because sometimes, like, if you're in a small town and everyone works, like, one store and that one store goes under or gets destroyed or something like that, people are just fucked. There's not another CVS across town you can work in. But here we got a fuck ton of Home Depots. And Home Depot is also apparently reaching out to their employees to see if they need assistance, if they've had damage to their homes and stuff like that as well.
So, well, that's good.
Was it you? I don't remember if it was you I was talking to the other day, or maybe it was Ajax, but somebody pointed out, it's like, well, they got all the shit they needed to Home Depot to rebuild the store.
Pretty much. It's like, oh, we needed somebody to do the lights and redo the walls. Well, guess what? We've got a shitload of cinder blocks in the warehouse.
Yeah, we got all this lumber, you know?
So,
yeah.
That was an exciting start to our week.
Yeah, it's honestly, it's kind of a, I wouldn't say it's I don't know whether to call it a tragedy or not, because, like, it was bad. It fucked up a lot of shit, but nobody died, and that's the good, like, part.
It could have been a lot worse, so yeah. I guess we'll just take it.
And it's one of those things where, like, you know, my mother-in-law posted to Facebook that me and Tyrion and all of their Dallas friends were safe, and I was kind of like, yeah, but I'm like, I don't take anything for granted. Like, that could have just as easily been 5 miles north and could have destroyed every house in my street.
Yeah.
You know? Like, their neighborhood, when they lived out here, got hit. Remember 3-4 years ago, there was a tornado over in Rockwall across the Lake Ray Hubbard. And, like, it just fucking ping-ponged through this neighborhood. So, like, some houses were fine. Some houses had, like, a couple $100s of roof damage. Some houses were down to the fucking foundation, just completely wiped out. It was just a really random pattern of destruction. And that landed December 26th. So, like, we'd been in that neighborhood for Christmas or Thanksgiving. And then we went back out there after the storm, and it was just like, Jesus. Because, like, you know, all the houses that were still, like, okay, like there's Christmas decorations everywhere. And then you turn a corner, and there's a tree through a house.
Jesus.
Yeah, it was really fucking surreal. Tornadoes are something not to fuck around with.
And yeah.
Apparently, it's odd to get tornadoes this late in the year. But, you know, I have no idea what would cause our weather to change and become more extreme. I mean, it's a total fucking mystery.
Yeah.
I bet scientists probably have an idea about
maybe
what...
Maybe some climate change?
I don't know. I mean...
It seems
unlikely, though, right? I mean, you know, the planet's been fine for 6,000 years, you know?
Oh, jeez.
I mean, God wouldn't do this to us, right?
Well, I don't know, you know.
Sorry, but... I'm going to get my waders on because my own bullshit just got really deep.
It's like, look, we're already in trouble with the internet. Not really, but... So, speaking of that type of stuff, so fun VeggieTales lore, Fuzz, you know, speaking of...
Oh my God, where are you going with this? Okay.
So, the veggies are expressly forbidden for entering the kingdom of God because they don't have souls. Bob wants to save your soul because he accepted his own damnation. That's not me being edgy. That's from the mouth of the creators. And that's two.
Are you serious?
It's two excerpts from an interview with the person controlling it. It's like, she likewise warned him not to imply that vegetables can have redemptive relationships with God. He should not, quote, show vegetables praying unless they're playing the role of a historical or biblical figure. The second rule is why Bob speaks in the second person when he ends the episodes with, always remember, God made you, not us, special, and he loves you very much. So the VeggieTales are going to hell. Just so you know, that's been a fun fact.
Oh my God, they'll just be like cut up and cooked, and then they're put back together, and they'll be cut up and cooked again.
They're like in a salad for all eternity.
Yeah.
That is vegetable hell. In other news, the video games, they're the worst thing on earth, apparently. Yep.
Continuing our series, part 917 of Video Games Were a Mistake.
Well, in this particular case, this is... Fallout 76. Shiva put a thing in the chat, and I put a couple things in the chat. So
I'm not done with the first 75 yet.
I know. They're really churning out the sequels, and now there's Space Fallout that just came out today, too.
Mm-hmm.
It's Fallout in space.
It's Fallout 2076.
So. Yep.
All right.
We'll get to that in a minute, though. So, Fallout 76, it was bad to start. And it's still pretty bad. And they somehow have the balls to say, hey, we're doing a subscription plan.
You know what's important, Saverin? Brand consistency.
Yes. This is where, you know, Bethesda loses most of the people because it's like, all right, you can pay us like $12 a month. You pay them a Netflix per month to have a quote unquote private server, which isn't a private server, and access to a couple of special things. And a box that whenever you put items into it, just destroys them. It's
like, so like they give everyone a shredder?
Well, that's what it functionally is right now, because it's an item called the scrap box where you can supposedly put infinite amounts of scrap. Where the actual reality, you put scrap into infinity, aka the void, because when you put scrap in, you can't pull the scrap out. It's just deleted. It's designed to be a very pay-to-win like storage solution for when you break things down and put it into storage so you can repair your shit later with it. And right now, it's just deleting all their stuff.
Is this a glitch or is this...
It's just some Bethesda quality. It's a horrible glitch. Okay. And like the other thing about the private servers, because that was one thing people wanted, that you could play with your friends and not have to worry about some rando coming in and screaming hard R in words at you.
Uh-huh.
Because when the game launched, it didn't have push to talk and it didn't have a way to mute people. So you had children running around screaming slurs at you.
Uh-huh.
They fixed that, but they also made it so that the quote unquote private servers are not private. They just put you into an instance that maybe someone else had used, maybe not. Like, they don't spin up a new instance just for you. They put you in an instance. But what that meant also is, if you go to these areas, they're already looted, there's no stuff to find, and, like, the NPCs have been killed. So you just go into an even deader, even more crapsack world because it's been picked clean. And this is just, like, it started a couple days ago.
It's a post-apocalyptic game, Saverin. What are you expecting? There to be things to do?
And or fun. You don't want to just lay down in a radioactive pool of water and turn into a mutant.
Hey, it worked for the Daleks.
Yeah, that's true. It's just nuts. And then, of course, Shiva found this thing.
Mm.
The Fallout First.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God, what is this?
The service that Bethesda launched for Fallout 76 is called Fallout First. And they didn't register the URL, falloutfirst.com.
Uh-huh.
Which you would think they would do. But they're apparently just incompetent across the board. And so someone got the URL and used it to, like, they mirrored the original post, but then changed the copy. So it's like, private world scrap boxes and more coming, C-U-M-M-I-N-G, to Fallout 76 with Fallout Fuck You First. Ever since Fallout 76 launch, we have consistently done nothing to improve and evolve the experience based on your shitty feedback. That's why we're excited to launch Fallout Fuck You First, a premium ass-pounding membership that offers something dumbass players have been asking for since before launch. Private worlds for you to and select idiots to friends. So we decided to put it behind a paywall. In addition to this huge, quote, feature, Fallout Fuck You First also includes a host of pointless items and cult bonuses, all of which you can find on my foreskin. And the best part, Fallout Fuck You First is available to screw you right now. And one of the items that I took a couple screenshots because the website was getting sort of quasi-DDoS because people were going to it to laugh.
Uh-huh.
Like, the sex tent. Drop the new sex tent to quickly set up a forward operating base when you're roughing. Smiley face. It out in the wilderness during your next adventure. The sex tent comes complete with a stash, sleeping bag, scrap box, cooking station, even an instrument to help you blow hot air up your ass after a day of exploring Appalachia. Once placed, it will also act as a second fast travel point in addition to your main camp, giving you even more freedom to travel anywhere on the map without spinning caps. Just your real money. You'll be able to deploy your sex tent from your favorites wheel. So Fallout 76 is not good, but they managed to make it, like, even less good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A good tweet, though, is like, look, if Fallout 76 can have the balls to ask you to pay for a year's worth of subscription for content that should have been in the game at launch, you can have the confidence to transition. So
I had seen that around, yeah.
I thought that was cute. But speaking of Fallouts, Space Fallout came out today. I think I was talking about it last week, The Outer Worlds, and it unlocked at 6 p.m. today, and we're all running a little bit behind, so I got the chance to basically make a character, do the tutorial, and get a little bit into the game. Like, everything I've heard from everybody has been very positive. The writing is pretty snappy. Like, you get rescued from the ship, and you get sent down to the surface, and you're supposed to meet a smuggler. But when you land there, you find that your little landing pod landed on him. And he's like, what? That idiot? I told him that he should set the landing beacon and step back, not stand there and hold it. Because, like, he's squished underneath your pod, but his arm is still, like, gripping the beacon rod.
Good grief.
You go down, you do a little bit tutorializing, you talk to the first dude, and, like, he's clearly injured. He accidentally shot himself in fear, like, when he got attacked by a couple monsters.
Mm.
And you can help him, or you can take the gun and shoot him, or whatever. I'm not a sociopath, so I helped him, patched him up. And then when you go talk to a supervisor after a little bit more combat, she's like, oh, you helped him? Oh, that's going to have to go in my report because we're not supposed to use non-company medical personnel. So, like, instead of a irradiated post-nuclear fallout wasteland, you're in a hyper-capitalist libertarian wasteland in space. So it seems like that'll be fun and clever so far. Like, you get to the ship right at the beginning and she's like, welcome back, Captain Hawthorne. And you're like, I'm not Captain Hawthorne. I can only take orders from Captain Hawthorne.
So I how am do you Captain Hawthorne.
And he's like, a little bit further, and she's like, welcome aboard, Captain Hawthorne. Try not to die this time. Like, implying that there have been multiple Captain Hawthorns that have preceded you as the captain of this ship, and just that the ship doesn't have a way to change the captain name, so everybody is Captain Hawthorne to her. But I will have to spend more time with that later today. Well, and tomorrow maybe. I've been looking forward to it, and it seems fun. And the other nice thing is that I had to pay a whole $1 to get the Xbox PC Game Pass. First month is $1, and then the next month, that months after that, are $5, and it gives you access to 100 games for PC. And that includes, like, Gears of War and some of, like, basically Microsoft Game Studio stuff. But I did get the chance to play a very cute mascot platformer called Super Lucky's Tale. You're this cute little fox, and you're in this cutesy little world and picking up, like, four-leaf clovers and stuff. It's a side-scroller slash 3D platformer that's extremely cute, very furry. Like, it would be pretty good stream fodder because it's just, you're a cute fox, and it's not terribly challenging right now, but it's fun. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't seem like it's very long either, because I'd already collected like a quarter of the MacGuffins over the course of like the 90 minutes or whatever I played this afternoon while waiting for Outer Worlds to unlock. So there's that.
Cool.
It was a pleasant afternoon, though we have more storms going on, so Adam was being very sad. I put him in his little thunder shirt, and he was still alternating between wanting to hide in his bed and be held.
Aww.
But I did get him a thunder shirt finally, so he's not like, I don't know if it super helps, but he has a thunder shirt and he looks cute in it.
I'm glad Bo isn't scared of storms.
Yeah, because like with Adam, he can sit in my lap pretty easily and shiver. Like if Bo tried to do that, you would have a bad time.
Mm-hmm.
His knees and elbows are very knobby.
Yes, and he's, you know, 65, 70 pounds versus
Adam's 20. He's a gangly boy.
He's 60. He's not really big for a Sheppy.
No, he's small for an adult Sheppy, but still, you would not want to have him in your lap shivering like Adam shivers in your lap. Okay, so I have a couple of choices here. Oh, actually, you had some cool stuff, Fuzz, that you put in at the very bottom.
Oh.
So why don't you take a crack at that so I can stop talking? It's been 25 minutes of me talking.
Oh, okay. Well, I just put a couple of links in here, and I hadn't actually read through everything. But at 4:20 Eastern time today, Senator Bernie Sanders announced his plan to legalize pot, expunge records, and implement clemency reform for people with drug convictions. And I'm sort of like, wow. I mean, I'm all for Elizabeth Warren, but, you know, she's going to have to, like, legalize cocaine or something now to like, step it up, you know? Honestly, outside of the jokes of, like, 420, man, I remember back in, like, 08 when Obama was running and somebody asked him about legalizing pot at one of his rallies, and he was kind of like, ha-ha, let's not get carried away, like, woo, that's a really out there idea. And it's sort of like, yeah, but some ridiculous percentage of Americans, something like 73-74% of people want pot legalized. And it's honestly a big fucking deal for a major mainstream politician, especially one running for president, to actually be like, hey, we need to do this. Because mm-hmm. it's reaching a point of ridiculous now. Because, like, we've got a bunch of states where it's legalized, a bunch of states where it's only legalized for medicinal, but it's illegal federally. So, like, you could still be arrested on a federal level for having weed in a state where it's legal. And it's just the dumbest fucking thing.
Yeah.
You know?
It's a patchwork bullshit thing that, again, disproportionately impacts anybody that isn't white.
And lower income people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the really cool thing in this is that, like, in addition to making it legal, they're also trying – they have plans to undo the damage. So
yeah.
So one of the points was ensure the revenue from legal marijuana is reinvested in communities hit hardest by the war on drugs, especially African American and other communities of color. With new tax resources from legal marijuana sales, we will create a $20 billion grant program within the Minority Business Development Agency to provide grants to entrepreneurs of color who continue to face discrimination and access to capital. With this revenue, we'll also create a $10 billion grant program to focus on businesses that are at least 51% owned or controlled by those in disproportionately impacted areas or individuals who have been arrested or convicted of marijuana offenses. Provide formerly incarcerated individuals with training and resources needed to start their own businesses and worker-owned businesses. And guarantee jobs and free job training at trade schools and apprenticeship programs related to marijuana businesses. In states like Vermont, Pennsylvania, and Ohio, employee ownership centers promote worker ownership and provide valuable technical support for businesses and workers. We will expand on the success and create employee ownership centers across the country and expand existing organizations. These employee ownership centers will work in coordination with the Minority Business Development Agency grant program to provide the training and technical support needed for formerly incarcerated individuals and people in areas disproportionately impacted by the war on drugs to start worker-owned businesses and cooperatives, and then use revenue from marijuana sales to establish a targeted $10 billion USDA grant program to help disproportionately impacted areas and individuals start urban and rural farms and urban and rural marijuana growing operations to ensure people impacted by the war on drugs have access to the entire marijuana industry. So that's cool.
Yeah. So that it's not just going to be a bunch of white Silicon Valley yahoos opening up a marijuana vape shop that are going to be able to benefit from the legalization of this. Yeah,
and the third one, there's three things. I'm just going to read them all because they're not very long and they are good policies. So hopefully, because Warren is going up the polls while Biden's going down, and Bernie's still a strong second or third right now.
Yeah.
You know, maybe we can bully Warren into adopting this policy position.
Yeah, honestly, I hope that if Bernie doesn't get the nomination, I hope he goes back to the Senate and continues to push for this. Like, if Warren becomes president, somebody still needs to push for this.
Yeah.
And yeah, I would absolutely like to drag her along this policy position.
Yeah. So, ending the war on marijuana and undoing its damage. As president, Bernie will legalize marijuana in the first 100 days with executive action by nominating Attorney General, HHS Secretary, and Administrator for the ADEA, who will work to aggressively end the drug war and legalize marijuana. Immediately issuing an executive order that directs the Attorney General to declassify marijuana as a controlled substance. While Congress must aggressively move to end the war on drugs and undo its damage, as President Bernie will not wait for Congress to act, passing legislation to ensure permanent legalization of marijuana, but also vacate and expunge all past marijuana-related convictions. In a Sanders administration, we'll review all marijuana convictions, both federal and state, for expungement and resentencing. All past convictions will be expunged. Based on the California model, we will direct federal and state authorities to review current and past marijuana-related convictions for eligibility. This review will include resentencing for all currently incarcerated with marijuana convictions. Following the determination of eligibility or status, prosecutors will have 1 year to appeal or object, after which authorities will automatically expunge and vacate past marijuana convictions for all those eligible. Federal funding will be provided to states and cities to partner with organizations that can help develop and operate the expungement and determination process, much like how California worked with Code for America. So, basically, he's trying to make it also that you can't use these people as slaves anymore. So yeah. Louisiana would be real upset for their state farm system because that's fucking monstrous.
I don't know about that, actually.
So you know how states
use prison labor for everything?
Yeah. A lot of Louisiana's prisons are prison farms. They are literally plantations. And if they can just arrest some person of color off the street and say, oh, you got the weed, guess what, you go to jail, well, you're a slave again. And I'm not even kidding, that's how it happens. So that would be a good end to it. Yeah. And the third thing that was highlighted is ensure legalized marijuana does not turn into big tobacco. Big tobacco is already targeting the marijuana industry for its profits. As President Bernie will not allow marijuana to turn into big tobacco, he will incentivize marijuana businesses to be structured like nonprofits. We will provide resources for people to start cooperatives and collective nonprofits as marijuana businesses that will create jobs and economic growth in local communities, prohibit products and labels that target young people, ban companies that have created cancer-causing products or guilty of deceptive marketing, ban tobacco/cigarette corporations from participating in the marijuana industry, institute market share and franchise caps to prevent consolidation and profiteering, which is pretty cool, and regulate the safety of marijuana products by granting the federal government a regulatory authority, partner with the USDA to establish safety inspection and quality control processes for growers and producers.
Yep.
So that's a fairly robust and comprehensive plan just from those three screenshots, and I'm sure there's more of it. But, you know, I do really like that, if anything, Bernie's presence in the primaries right now is forcing people to look further left than they would normally.
Yeah.
Because he's putting out these ideas like abolishing student debt and legalized marijuana and socialized healthcare and all this other stuff, which are all good things. Mm-hmm. But his presence and the popularity thereof, like when he had 30,000 people show up at a rally in Queens after he got back from back on the trail, you know, it was this last weekend,
mm-hmm.
like seeing that that was like the biggest political rally in a while.
Yeah.
And so like people are seeing that his ideas are extremely popular and he's very, very popular with younger generations of folks.
Mm-hmm.
Like the generational divide of who supports who in the Democratic sides is pretty stark. Like pretty much anybody under the age of 40 thinks Bernie's pretty cool. And then anybody over that's like Biden. And, you know, Warren has pretty broad spectrum support. There was that thing, and I think you put in the chat, that was like pretty much everybody, even if they're favoring another person, thinks Warren's pretty good.
Right. Yeah. There was this graph of like people whose number one pick was this person. 54% of that person's supporters, their second pick would be Warren. So, yeah, she has broad spectrum support. And, you know, much like CBD oil, you want to go broad spectrum.
That's right. Speaking of abolishing student debt. You also put another thing from Tom Gara saying, like, the guy appointed by Betsy DeVos to oversee the federal student loan system is resigning, says he now believes the government should cancel all student debt. The mm-hmm. time has come for us to end and stop this insanity.
Yeah. I kind of love that somebody was appointed by this right-wing Christian maniac, got in there, was supposed to be in charge of this system, and is like, yeah, we need to just get fucking rid of this. Like, student loan debt needs to just not be a fucking thing.
Wayne Johnson, appointed by Education Secretary DeVos, calls the student loan system, quote, fundamentally broken. And he's this old white dude who probably, like, got in, looked at the book, said, what the fuck?
Yeah.
This is not fine. This is terrible. It's the this is fine dog, except it's not.
Right, you know? Yeah, yeah.
It's the extended version where he's like, how did it get this way?
Yeah.
So one of the paragraphs is, Mr. Johnson said repayment trends suggest much of the debt will likely never be repaid, and he's calling for moving towards a system that gets the government out of student lending. We run through the process of putting this debt burden on somebody, but it rides on their credit files. It rides on their backs for decades, he said, adding, the time has come for us to end and stop the insanity. Mr. Johnson said he arrived at his position to cancel student debt after he joined the administration and had a first-hand look at problems, including the high level of defaults and the difficulties of administering a program to erase loans for public sector workers. So he literally did get in, look at the books, and go, what the fuck?
Yeah.
So that's interesting. He is resigning, so there's probably going to be some ghoul to replace him. But, like, even a dude that can work for the Trump administration can look at this and go, actually, we should just erase all this because it's not doing anybody any good, least of all the people who had to take out shitloads of huge loans.
Yeah.
Like, it's literally just profiteering. Like, Jesus, look at how far credit hour costs have gone up in the last little year, a little bit. I mean, shit, even at Dallas County Community Colleges, the per credit hour cost has tripled since I got my little 2-year there. From $50 to $150 per credit hour.
So, I mean, and that's what, like 10 years, 15 years? I mean,
yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's like 10 years.
That's a big fucking jump. And
that also makes so the class is not $150, it's $450.
Yeah.
Which puts even community college out of the reach of a low income worker, a minimum wage worker.
Yeah.
Because, like, back when I was working at Petco for fucking minimum wage, getting scratched and bitten, pooped on by dogs, fucking that sucked. But $450, that's a good chunk of my paycheck.
Yeah.
Right? And then you have to live as an adult. So there has to be some change, you know, universal education reform so that everybody can go to free college. Wow, we can afford that. We literally can. We just have to stop spending it on bombs and F-35s.
A lot of people don't know this, but California used to have free college tuition. And you know who fucking put a stop to that?
Ronald Reagan.
Ronald Reagan.
Fuck Ronald Reagan.
Yeah.
Man. Behind the Bastards, right? You just listened to that two-parter?
No, that was the Dollop.
Oh, the Dollop. Actually.
The Dollop, episode 400, they did a two-parter on Ronald Reagan. And they had a guest commentator, they had Patton Oswalt on there because they're all comedians. But they do a deep dive on Ronald Reagan, basically from his birth to his death. And you also get a lot of insight into what a completely shitty person Nancy Reagan is. And the second part, when the AIDS crisis starts up during his presidency, it is fucking heartbreaking to listen to. And like, there's like three straight guys in there, but they're very liberal. And they're just like, they're reading these stats, and it's just like, they're just like, God damn. I mean, there's some parts where, like, they can't spin it to be amusing at all, which, because it is a comedy podcast, but they're just, there's some parts where there's, like, an awkward silence where they're just like, holy fuck, man.
They're like, we're supposed to make a joke here, but there's not a joke to make. It just sucks.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I've listened to a few of the Dollop episodes and found them amusing.
Yeah.
And also, like, holy shit, this person's a monster.
Yeah.
Like, I don't remember which ones they were, but I listened, I think, the John McCain one.
The John McCain one is really informative. The George H.W. Bush one is very informative. When you realize how much fucked up shit he did over the course of his life, especially his life in government, you know, from head of the CIA to vice president to president. Like,
oh, huh.
You know, I listened to another podcast. There's another podcast called You're Wrong About, which goes over a topic and then, like, gives you more information and shit like that. And they did an episode on the Iran-Contra affair. And H.W. Bush is very involved with that. Like, H.W. Bush is, like, officially saying, oh, I don't know anything about this or anything like that. But then he apparently, he and Reagan both kept diaries because that's what old men do, I guess. I think they also touched on this in the Dollop as well. And one of them does an impersonation of Bush Sr. It's like, dear diary, did a big treason today. And it's like, oh my God, why are you keeping diaries? You're doing all this illegal shit. I mean, that's less dumb than what Trump's people are doing now, where they're just tweeting and saying on video, we're doing this illegal shit and expect to get away with it. And I was like, ah. Oh, and oh my God, this fucking thing with the Republicans lately. Like, sorry to go off on a tangent here. I don't know. Oh, some hacks I turned on my
flashlight
on my phone there. It was just glowing.
Your anger was like, oh, I should turn on.
It really was. Yeah, I was like, God damn it. Ah. No, did you hear about like the 20-something Republicans that basically tried to break into like a top secret private hearing where they're doing like impeachment related interviews and stuff like that? And they're like, we want to know what's going on in the Democrats' fucking secret impeachment chamber. And this is all, it's being run by like three different committees. Well, you know what? There are, across those three committees, there are 41 Republicans on those committees, along with the Democrats. So it's like, no, they're not completely locking the Republican Party out of this like research process.
They're just, it's just these other
20-something entitled cocksuckers that they're like, well, we don't know about it, so we have to fucking get in. And it's like, and why, one of the things I was reading was like, you know, the consequences of this are these people are never going to get a top security clearance now.
Yeah.
Like, this is, they've committed a fucking felony.
They committed a light treason.
You know, and unlike Trump, who, you know, I'm sad to say, may very well skate completely free after his presidency. Like, these people don't have that level of fucking bullshit surrounding them to, like, get them out of jail free, you know?
I would love to see these people, like, face some actual consequences. I don't trust our government to actually do it, but I can hope for it.
Well, the Capitol Police confiscated their cell phones and escorted them off the site.
Hey, that's something. And that's the thing. Like, the hearings are being done in accordance to the rules that the Republicans set up in 2015.
Yeah. John fucking Boehner is the one that put these rules into place.
It's rules for thee and not for me, because we're the Republicans.
Yeah.
Fucking shitheads.
Just anyway, yeah. Let's not get too about the wake I felt all fucking day.
Yeah. So
the liberal rage is flowing through me.
So Let's have something fun. We're going to shift just slightly. Still political, though. Did you guys hear the thing where Trump was talking at a thing in Colorado and said he's going to build a wall in Colorado?
Oh, God.
Little did you know, guys, that apparently all Mexicos are the same. Therefore, we are now ceding.
Was he just walling off Texas?
No,
New Mexico.
He's walling off New Mexico, apparently.
Because they're Mexicans. They're New Mexicans, but
they're still Mexicans.
All Mexicans are the same. Old Mexicans, New Mexicans.
East, West, it doesn't matter. So the Colorado governor was making fun of him, and he was like, well, it's a good thing that all children in Colorado are guaranteed kindergarten, and they can learn geography.
Yeah.
And he was like, we're not building a wall in Kansas, but they'll see the benefit for it or something.
There was another Democratic senator who took a map of the United States and Sharpied the border up over New Mexico.
Like
sort of a callback to the hurricane map. Yeah.
And then he tried to tweet through it, but nobody believes him, of course. It's just like, old man, don't you think you look tired? Yeah. I mean, you're taking a lot of Adderall. And a lot of, like, methamphetamines, I'm sure.
I mean,
but you look tired.
My expectations for Trump are so fucking low right now, and he continues to go under them. Like, at least look at a fucking map of where the borders of the country you're the president are. On that note, there was the other people that put out a world map where they were like, here's the countries that have a Second Amendment, and it was the continental U.S. was marked out, but Alaska was not. So basically Alaska doesn't have a Second Amendment, apparently, because they're not in America.
You have a right to be eaten by bears.
Yeah. Well, no, it's the opposite up there. You have the right to arm bears.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
I think they're pretty much born that way. I mean, the teeth of the claws, they don't need guns. They're fine.
No, you need to arm them because they need to keep the 30 to 50 feral hogs off of my land from infecting my children with diseases that I refuse to vaccinate them against.
Yep. I saw a thing. Chuck Wendig was complaining. He's getting text messages from the Marianne Williamson campaign.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, Or donated to her. I've never talked to her. But why has why is she telling me? How do I make this stop? Do I have to, like, stop vaccinating my children? Do I have to love the orb? You know, because she's a very new agey lady. She made it on, like, the first debate stage, but none further. But she's very, very woo. But she's also of the gays could cure AIDS through the power of positive thinking type stuff, because she was up to some shit in the early 90s, so she's not a good person.
Yeah.
She was sort of a joke candidate that fell off afterwards, but...
Oh, God.
Yeah,
I heard Tulsi Gabbard mixed up, because Tulsi Gabbard says some dumb shit, too.
Tulsi Gabbard's a, like, Hindu nationalist weirdo. Like, there were a few weirdos that got in, got 0%, and are still sticking around because they want to get jobs on MSNBC after the 2020 election.
Another one of the random white guys running stepped out of the campaign.
Where is it? Damn it.
Whitey McWhiter.
Tim Ryan.
Okay. I don't even know who the fuck he is.
Well, that was the thing. It's like everybody replying to NBC News' tweet was like, who?
I mean, I'm going to bet it's going to come down between Warren and Bernie.
God, I hope so.
Yeah, unfortunately, Warren, Bernie, and Biden, they're the three front runners right now. And I'm really hoping that when it comes down to the final two, that it's Warren and Bernie, like you said, because frankly,
Biden scares me.
I would be happy with Warren or Bernie. And I've said this before, I will vote for Biden if he is the nominee, because...
Fuck Trump.
He is still better than Trump, because he won't make things better, but at least he won't make things any fucking worse. And I don't know if this country could survive another 4 years of the Trump administration.
I don't know if we could survive.
Warren or Bernie? Yeah. I've not been a big Bernie fan because I'm still very salty about all this bullshit from the 2016 election. I was a Hillary supporter. I still think she got fucked over in no small part because she won the fucking election by 3 million votes and the Electoral College didn't do their job. The point of the Electoral College is to keep a wildly unqualified candidate from becoming president, and they did the opposite of that.
Which is why Comrade Bernie comes in, takes the power, abolishes the Senate, changes the thing, and we bring in the glorious United States Socialist Republic.
Yeah. So, I'm honestly fine with Bernie and Warren. Yeah, some people suggested, like, oh, the two of them on a ticket, that'd be cool. And then part of me is like, I mean, yeah, that'd be nice, but they're both old, and they're both senators. And if one of them doesn't get the nomination, I'd like to see the other one remain in the Senate, where they could continue to actually do, because the vice president, I mean, there's that joke from The Daily Show years ago, the vice president, a heartbeat from relevancy. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a largely ceremonial position. It only really matters if something happens to the president.
He's the backup.
Right. It's the heir and the spare, you know? And rather than see Bernie or Warren end up in that position, I'd rather have one of them as president and one of them be back in the Senate where they can continue to push for things and introduce laws and do some good.
So I know if the president dies in office or leaves or whatever, the vice president becomes president. What happens if the vice president dies?
Speaker of the House. Which in this case would be Madam President Nancy Pelosi. My God, if fucking Trump and Pence both go down and we do get a first woman president and it's not Elizabeth Warren, it's Nancy Pelosi. I would be perfectly happy with that too. She can serve out the remainder of Trump's term and then we can elect Elizabeth Warren.
Who steps up to Speaker of the House?
Probably the Deputy Speaker, the whip. Mm.
There's a whole chain of succession.
Yeah, there's a whole chain of succession. And if something happened to the Speaker of the House, there's I don't even know after that, but they've got everybody fucking down. It goes through all the cabinet secretaries. It maybe even involved the Chief Justice at some point. I don't remember the whole line. But this is top three.
Fairly brief show called Designated Survivor with Kiefer Sutherland.
Yeah.
Basically, an inauguration gets bombed to hell and a bunch of the government dies. So he's 47th in line.
Yeah.
As an education secretary.
Uh-huh.
And he becomes president.
Yeah. Because Designated Survivor is a real thing. When they have the inauguration where you have the House, the Senate, and the Supreme Court and all their families and everybody there for the inauguration, or when the president is addressing a joint session of Congress, so you have the House and the Senate, or the State of the Union address where you also have the Supreme Court there. If there was a situation where somebody just bombed the Capitol and killed them all at once, they don't want there to not be a president. So somebody is a designated survivor so that if all of those people are killed simultaneously, there will be somebody that will be inaugurated as the next president.
Mm-hmm.
And theoretically, government would be able to continue in some fashion.
Fun fact.
Yeah, it's a wildly unlikely circumstance, but there are several times over the course of a president's term where all of Congress and the Supreme Court and the executive branch, basically all the branches of government, are in the same place at the same time.
Yeah.
It'd be wiping out the entire – this is the plot of King Ralph, where the entire royal family is killed at once, and the next person in line is this American played by John Goodman. So he becomes King of Britain.
Fun. I had not heard of that film, but would you think Goodman? So it was mid-90s or something like that? Late 80s?
Yeah.
Okay. Wait,
is that a Goodman or John Candy? I want to say
either one of them.
I want to say it's Goodman, but yeah, it's a mid-90s comedy. And, the one joke I remember is I think it's Peter O'Toole is the guy that has to basically train him to be, royal. You know, and he brags, we kicked your butt in the American Revolution. He's technically our butt. And he's oh, right, because he's British now. And he's well, America still won. Yeah. Anyway, wow, that was a widely divergent
tangent. That's okay, though.
There, but
so I got two things left after this, and then we wrap it up because it is getting late. It's already 9:35 because We started late because reasons.
On the designated survivor thing, because I'm going to interrupt you because I know that annoys you. That is also Battlestar Galactica.
Oh.
Amarillo is getting snow and it's near whiteout right now.
Uh-huh.
What?
The same weather system that's sending all the rain our way also dropped like a foot of snow.
In Amarillo.
Yep. The city
in October.
Yellow is getting snow.
Wow.
That's weird.
Well.
That's fucked up.
It was one of those things where it's like, yeah, if you're in Amarillo, be prepared for ice and stuff, just so you know.
Climate change!
Yeah, it's wild. So, last week's long-ranging struggle session, we didn't get any emails on the fact, which I'm kind of surprised. Like, we did have somebody drop off our Patreon, and I haven't reached out to them, but that's a bummer. Like, I hope we weren't too offensive.
Did he say that was why? Or
no, they just didn't leave a reason. But they also, like, left the fan chat, too.
Mm.
So they just, like, bailed. So it's like, oh. And when you don't have a ton of people on your Patreon, you notice when the number goes down slightly. But a couple of people that were vaguely associated with the quote-unquote bread tuber types, both, like, Sean, Jen, and H-Bomber Guy were like, no, actually, like, non-binary people are cool, and I'm sorry that I really don't like the fact that I was associated with this other person on this video, and it sucks. I'm really upset by it. And, like, Philosophy Tube had sort of a more woe-is-me kind of apology, but it was still something of an apology. So, like, a couple of people that hadn't said anything did kind of say, yeah, this is kind of fucked up. And the reason that I bring that back up, because today also, you know, the UK hates trans people. Like, holy shit. It's like their national industry. They just hate trans people with every fiber of their fucking being over there. Like, that's all the power they could use to fix Brexit and not do that. They're like, no, actually, we're going to spend all of our points into hating trans people.
As a Brit, it's really weird.
Like, there was a...
Maybe it's because I grew up in America.
Yeah, there's a really horrific headline in, like, The Telegraph, which is not a tabloid, but it was, like, implying that trans people should be forced to carry identification that's like, I'm a trans or something. And it was like, oh, and it's not the, hey, we should let trans people have IDs that match them, match their gender identity.
No, it's more like a fucking Star of David.
Yeah, and people, sure. That was everybody's response. Where it's like, yeah, you know, maybe I could put a triangle on my shirt or an armband and, you know, and we could maybe get some free sweet tattoos.
You know. Yeah, you will start tattooing their gender identity on their arms.
Oh, there we go. So that was really bad. But also, this is something that most people listening and pretty everybody should agree. It's like LGBT. That's the acronym. It extends further, but it sure as fuck isn't just LGB.
Yeah.
There was a group that trying to start up, like, we're the LGB Alliance. We're here to fight for gays, but not the transes. And, like, quote-unquote gender extremism and all this shit. And they're getting, like, super dogpiled on Twitter, but they're a UK-based turf organization, which just coincidentally probably takes money from the United States evangelical far right.
Oh, go figure.
But the other thing, too, is I use blockchain on these kinds of people. Like, I spent – it probably took, I think, 10 minutes for Twitter to process me blocking every single one of Graham Linehan's followers, all 140,000 or so of them.
Yeah.
But it was worth it because that just cut this massive swath of TERFs off my Twitter experience. They can't see me. And if I get a false positive and they show up not being shitty in another, like, related post, I can be like, oh, that was a mistake or a false positive and unblock them. But – when I saw these people and I saw people engaging with them, I'm like, I'm going to blockchain these fuckers. 75% of the people following this new, quotation fingers, grassroots, quotation fingers group, I'd already had them blocked. Like, that's a new record.
Yeah.
Like, 3,500 of their 4,200 followers were already blocked by me. And there was already people doing, like, Venn diagrams of, like, follower intersections, and this LGB alliance was almost entirely within, like, the sphere of another turfy group, and then, like, there was another big overlap with yet another turfy group, and it's just like, how stupid do you think, you know, LGBT people are? You know, like, we know of wedge documents. This has been a tactic that the right wing has used for eternity, trying to cause division between blacks and the Democrats, between gays and lesbians,
between working class blacks and working class whites, between different tribes of black people in South Africa. This is an apartheid tactic that they actually learned from the CIA.
Yeah. And so, like, creating wedge organizations to be like, no, we have to protect the rights of gays and lesbians and bi people. And then, like, the bis have a little asterisk or star because more often than not, these groups super don't support bi people.
Yeah.
There was a pretty interesting and probably correct thread by Kate Wagner. She does the McMansion Hell blog.
Oh, okay.
But she's very much like, yeah, if a group doesn't support bi people, they will be super happy to throw trans people under the bus and vice versa.
You know what? It really is there's a lot of misogyny in groups like this as well. The acronym would just be G if they had their way.
Or L.
Yeah.
Because they have the people that try to do the
I'm a real woman kind of
or, thing. The L without the T or whatever. It's like there's these people that try to make their little splinter organizations. Even though, like, online people are shitty about it, but, like, we've seen at, like, a couple of the UK prides where they try to disrupt it, and it's, like, 10 people holding up signs being shitty that are being yelled at by hundreds of people.
Yeah.
You know, so it's, like, it's not like
they're... So it's like a straight pride parade.
Yeah, same, it's not like they're an actual big faction. They are in bed with the right wing, and they are trying to cause division within minority groups. And the thing is, that's why we need to have, you know, solidarity between people who aren't straight and people who aren't cis, because divided we fall.
Well, this is also why we need to have solidarity with queers of color, and partially why they added, like, the black and brown stripes to the larger flag, because trying to be like, because there's a lot of racist white gays and lesbians.
Yeah.
And that don't really like the rest of the diversity that we have.
Very much a fuck you, got mine type thing.
Yeah, it absolutely is.
So, you know, last week when we were having our discussion about who counts and what, it's like, basically, if you genuinely identify a certain way and you're part of the LGBT umbrella, okay, cool. We need to have that solidarity with each other, because if we try to be, quote, one of the good ones to the straights, we aren't going to survive. Just because you're one of the good ones, that means you get to go on the train last. So keep that in mind if you ever have that idea. Like, I'll admit, when I was younger, you know, I think everybody has that internalized homophobia phase where they're like, well, I'm gay, but I'm not one of those flaming homos, right?
Yeah, I know I had that phase too.
People need to get over themselves and understand that, like, we're all in this together, whether we like it or not, and we need to be supportive of each other, because you can't count on broader cishet society to do that for us. Like, people are a lot more accepting of gays and lesbians nowadays, and, like, there's less overt hatred of us out here, but we still need to have each other's backs.
Yeah. And on that note is the other headline that I believe I posted, where a woman in, I think it was Alabama, she was a teacher at a Christian school.
Right.
She was their theater director, and it came out that she was a lesbian. So they call her into the office, and they're like, so we found out that you're accused of being in a relationship with a woman, being active in an LGBT community organization, and there was, like, another thing. And she's like, yeah, that's true. What's the problem? And they fired her. And her statements on it were like, it's ridiculous, because you can be gay and Christian, and there's no reason why I shouldn't have been able to be a teacher at a Christian school. And, you know, as much as I dislike religion, she's right. There are lots of queer Christians. And it is, and there's been, you know, when you look at things like all the various splits in the Episcopal churches, like, yeah, there are people who are religious who are not homophobic. The Bible is open to your interpretation. And if you're homophobic, it's because you're just an asshole. You know, it's nothing to do with your religion. You need to just own it and be like, yeah, I'm just an asshole.
Yeah, I mean, hell, I remember I was really surprised. There is an affirming Baptist church in Waco, Texas that loves the gays in Waco, Texas, that's Baptist. You know, this historically anti-everybody-but-white-straight-people church. There's, yeah. But there's this one.
That honestly surprised me. I mean, I wouldn't have been surprised if it was the Episcopalians or the... Or the Lutherans or the Universalists. But yeah. When you said it was a Baptist church, I was like, wow, that's probably the first I've heard.
There was Quakers and there was Universalists, the Metropolitan Community Church, which, you know, they've been good on the gays forever, essentially. But the Baptist thing that I saw was the big surprise, and that was nice. It was a nice thing to see.
Yeah.
So
it honestly is nice to see religious groups who are not shitty. Like, for... In my experience, it's a rarity, and I don't know whether that's actually true or not, or whether they're just not vocal, but when you actually see Christians actually upholding the tenets of their religion, you know, not shitting on poor people, and not shitting on immigrants, and not refusing to help other people, and not being homophobic... It's like, it's really sad that in 21st century Christianity, I consider that the rarity.
Unfortunately, we've grown up, like, it's only really in our lifetimes that things have shifted so much towards queer acceptance. And the old people are trying to drag us back, I say, as, you know, we're people in our late 30s, early 40s. But we're not the old people. We're older, but we're not old yet, damn it.
Yeah.
And so I would like to believe this is the last gasp of this kind of bullshit and that the next generation is going to be a hell of a lot gayer already.
Yeah.
Like, we already know that the next generation younger than us is a hell of a lot gayer.
Yeah.
And vastly more openly saying, oh, yeah, I'm bi at a younger age because they're not so – they don't have to realize in their teens or late 20s or whatever when they come out and go, oh, no, I've wasted all this time or – oh no, I was a dumbass because of my religion and I've hurt all these people with my faith, or insert things here. So that's interesting. Like, just solidarity needs to become a concept that we have with people of like mind. Like, there's, yes, of course there's going to be shitty gays, shitty lesbians, shitty trans people, shitty bi people. They exist. But, like, overall, as a class group... We need to practice solidarity and prop each other up because when it comes down to it, we might be all we have. So, final thing that I've got this week, because we don't have any emails, which I'm surprised because somebody in our chat did say they wanted to email us, but I guess they didn't get around to it.
No, we got an email. We got a con report.
Con report.
Yeah.
Yeah, but not on our...
But that's from a couple weeks ago.
Oh, is it? Oh, okay. I didn't notice the date.
It's from like 3 weeks ago because we've forgotten to get to it. But it's from Tales and Tornadoes. You can read that one, Fuzz.
Okay, sure.
The last thing, though, that I have is a Kickstarter. So at ACFI, I picked up the very cute Transgender shirt from Artwork Tee. And that is art by Lubraz. Is their name, L-U-H-B-R-A-Z. And they have launched their Kickstarter for their furry and proud, basically furry LGBT shirts. Kind of like the Fursona Pins pride flag thing that they did for a while, that they did a Kickstarter for.
Yeah.
Now, they have 29 days to go. They've already raised $3,500 of a $3,000 goal. So they've already funded with 65 backers. And they are doing a broad spectrum of designs, up to 19 of them.
Wow.
So they've got Jesse the Fox, male fox. We have, Jesse is LGBT. They don't have boobs. It's hard to tell. They're cute, whatever. There's Martin the Husky for LGBT. They have Alice the Trans Pride Deer for Trans Femme. They have Charlie the Trans Pride Lion for Trans Mass Folk. Mandy the Bi Snow Leopard. Casey the Ace Panda. Jessica the Lesbian Pride Cat. Jules the Pan Pride Dragon. Marcus the Straight Ally Wolf. Then bonuses, they've got stickers and wristbands and plush and stuff, various things and stretch goals. They've got Red Panda, Non-Binary Unicorns, Poly Arctic Foxes, Gender Fluid Possum, Bear Pride Bear. That would be something like Ajax would like. That's at $8,000. And so they have stuff all the way up to a max of 16,000 total. 16,000 is the top end unlock for the thing. And Librez is an amazing artist from Brazil who specializes in character design, illustration, line work. Her support of LGBT and environmental causes, not to mention her awesome art style, made her the perfect artist to design this fashion line. I wore the transgender shirt down to out on the Brazos in Waco 2 weeks ago and got a lot of positive comments on it. They're very cute. And honestly, I have to say that artwork T-Ne Draw Ponies, he's certainly turned his act around. He's turned it into a real industry, and they make some good shirts. Like the shirt, I've worn it and washed it a couple times, and it's held up pretty well. So it's cool that they're doing a Kickstarter. It's already successful. I'll put a link in the show notes because the designs are really cute. Cool. So that's a one cool thing for you guys.
Yay!
So we do have an email, Fuzz. You can email us at southpodscast@gmail.com.
Can I?
You can.
You said Fuzz. You can email us.
You could, Fuzz, but we put all of our stuff into the topic chat. So, I mean, you could technically email them to the show and be like, where the fuck are all these emails coming from? And then be like, oh, they're from Fuzz. So, Fuzz, read
the
email.
Just random things about my day, you know?
I had a taco.
Dear South Podcast, I saw a squirrel playing in the yard on the way to work today, you know? Okay, let me pull up the email here. A very light FurCon report, Tales and Tornadoes 2019. This is from Lunar Moth. So I went to TNT and TNT this year. One an anime con and the other is a furry con. Wish I could go to all cons all the time, but sure, that would drive a person to madness. You know, trust me, I know. Already been to four, but you all want to hear about the furry one. I may not be the best reporter because I didn't stay long each day that were open, for one, much out of my element. This was my first fur con, and you all dance a different way than most cons. Fun, but different. Hopefully I find more of a groove next time. Second, I had prior obligations I had to go take care of, some could not stay. But even from what I could see, it was a pretty good success for a first-year FurCon. Maybe a little too much floor space in the main area and hall to dealers and game room was very tight. But people were having fun with what they had and very good organizers. Was it enough to do it again next year? Only time will tell. Actually, speaking of next year, I saw their announcement the other day that Fox and Pepper are going to be their guests of honor next year.
Oh, that's fun.
So shout out to them. Only two downsides. Too much floor space, maybe to do better with a smaller venue, but this could be a big pro if the numbers do surge next year. And also wanted to argue with a dealer who sold custom-made corded harness equipment. Was having a nice time talking to him until he said, "What, you're a furry and you're not into this stuff?" Of course, talking about his wares. "Sir, I don't know you, and even if I was the biggest furry weirdo, not everyone has the same kink. If it was, I would let you know and maybe even buy some. But did not want to rock the boat, so I moved on. Besides that, all the other dealers were super awesome and seemed happy with sales even early on. Even got some things myself. Last thing, I like taking pictures at cons. So here are what I got. Not the most or best of the show, but gives you an idea. And there's an Imgur link. You all do great work. And tell Shiva Cat that she has to make it more so I can hear her pretty voice."
Thank you.
So there we go. Thank you very much for the con report. I was wondering how TNT went its first year. That's good to hear that they were successful. So sounds good. Yeah, I've seen some pretty good feedback coming out of this con's first year. So
cool. Well, considering it is now 10 o'clock, it's a little bit shorter episode than was last week. It'll probably be about an hour.
Yeah, I had to work late, unfortunately, and then there was like a lot of traffic and it's
the
raining.
Whataburger was cursed tonight.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Man, our Whataburger has gone so far downhill. It sucks so bad. They were understaffed, and apparently like their cash register for the drive through was broken, so they had to run back and forth, and like they were having a nightmare of a time getting the right orders into the right people's hands. Like, I ordered a patty melt, they didn't cook the onions at all, so they were still hard and crunchy.
Yeah.
Onions.
There's another one right down there on Old Denton in the bush.
Yeah.
It might be time to
shift.
To shift.
Mm-hmm.
It's just sad.
Yeah.
But that's neither here nor there. We just got here late, so shorter episode this week. Not very rar, I don't think. So, as always, you guys can email us at southpawscast@gmail.com. You can send us messages via our Tumblr, southpawscast.tumblr.com. You can find us on Patreon, patreon.com/southpawscast. You can find us on Twitter at SouthPawsCast, though we are pretty bad about using the Twitter account. You can find me on Twitter at Saverin Drake.
You can find me on Twitter at Fuzzwolf. Go to forplanet.com or baddogbooks.com if you want to buy some stuff.
Also, I have the Outer Worlds now, and I'm very tempted to stream it, which is a massive lie, but you can find me on twitch.com/Saverin. And Shiva has freed herself from the horrid hellscape that is twitter.com.
And you can mostly find me in our fan chat, which we have, and you'll put in the show notes?
Yep.
Okay.
I keep saying that, but I keep forgetting. But
remember.
I'll remember this time, because it's at the end of the show, and this will be like the last thing I hear before we say goodnight.
And big books.